It is. I will tell you that I'm doing really well at betting NBA, but boy, baseball is just killing me on my bets. So, but our next guest is brought to you by, once again, BetMGM. I'm glad to have them with the program, just as much as I'm glad to have David Eicholt. He is at DEicholt247. David, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Outside of my my Twitter mention since the CJ Frederick news, other than that, I'm doing all right.
Okay, before and that's something we do need to talk about a little bit, and I have another one to talk about, a former Hawkeye too. You're coming on today because tomorrow you get your second COVID shot, and I just want you to know that it's inspirational that the younger generations are actually taking a step up in doing this. So thank you for that, especially for us old folks. the herd immunity is what saves old people like me. And I appreciate that. And I don't think it's going to be bad. You may have a few hours, but other than that, I think you'll be good. And I appreciate you coming on today. Before we get to CJ Frederick, I wanted to ask you, Oliver Martin had a pretty good spring practice down at Nebraska. So I don't think anybody from the University of Iowa has any ill feelings towards him, do they?
I mean, maybe a select few, but at the same time, I think they need to realize the talent that they have in the room right now. And that was before Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce the fourth got on campus. So I think once Iowa got those pair of four stars and got Brody Brecht, who should be, you know, a pretty big factor, I think, especially in the red zone over the course of his career, I don't think there's any ill feelings. And the reality of the situation is, for Oliver, it's a better opportunity at Nebraska for him. It's not a crowded room right there. It's basically wide open. And with the roster that they have right now, they desperately need playmakers after Wandale Robinson departed from the program to actually go to Kentucky, ironically enough. So I don't think there's any ill feelings towards Oliver. And, you know, from knowing Oliver and watching his game progress over the last couple of years, I'm not surprised to see him have the early indications that he'll be a starter and, you know, might be pretty successful at Nebraska this year.
One of the, well, I guess, two things that surprised last year was Duke and Kentucky not playing very well when you have all these five-star athletes. I think the one thing that Duke and Kentucky forgot about was the key in the NBA right now. It's the key in high school. It's the key in college. You have to have shooters. It's great to have kids that can go up and down the floor and dunk and do all that. If you don't have shooters, you don't have anything. Kentucky brings in Kellen Grady from the transfer portal and CJ Frederick. Last year, Kentucky shot 33.6%. And they shot over 60% in two of the last three games to get it to that point. Those two that are coming in shot a combined 42.8% from three. That wins Kentucky enough games probably last year that they're probably in the NCAA pretty comfortably. I think we all knew that's where CJ was going to go. I think he laid low for a while just to let it blow all over. And I think it's to a point now where people just don't care. But I get it. There's still some people that have a lot of dislike for him. But once again, under a 21-year-old and you're trying to make life decisions, man, you got to cut some slack to people.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Iowa landing Felipe Rabracha, the transfer portal, and Jordan Bohannon coming back, I think that softened the blow a little bit, especially from the shooting department and next year's team. But I'll say this on the CJ Frederick front. I mean, obviously, I try to cover the story as extensively as I can just because I know him and his inner circle were pretty much shut down for the most part throughout this entire process. But after talking to multiple people, I will say, I know people are going to scoff at me saying this, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. It was not a done deal to Kentucky. They had to recruit him. I was told that CJ had multiple Zoom meetings with North Carolina, Gonzaga, Creighton, and several other schools as well. And, you know, some people in his camp at one point believed he was going to North Carolina. So this was not a slam dunk for Kentucky by any means. But obviously they were the early favorite coming when he entered the portal, and it's not surprising to see him end up there. But again, I don't think it was a slam dunk by any means, but you're right. If you look at Duke and Kentucky last year, what was the common factor? They didn't have shooters. They could have all the athleticism in the world, but ultimately, if you don't put the ball in the basket, you're not going to be able to win many games. And I think when you look at the SEC and we saw how they did in the NCAA tournament. You look at the teams that they had there. I mean, you look at Auburn with Sharif Cooper, who I thought was tremendous this past season. You look at Alabama. I mean, they did have teams in the SEC that were going to give Kentucky problems. So to see them struggling as much as they did this season, especially when they don't have the shooters, it was surprising just because of the prestige of the program, but it really wasn't surprising when you look at the matchups on paper.
Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at DEicholt247. And here's the really funny thing, and I've tried to preach this to every eighth grader that I get to coach before they get into high school, before they go to college, and before they become professional basketball players that they think they're going to be, is shooting is the one thing that's hard to defend. It's mm-hmm. if you can defend somebody driving to the hole, you can defend somebody coming on a fast break, but if you're making good passes and you kick out, it is extremely difficult to, especially when you have multiple shooters, it's extremely difficult to guard. So if you can shoot the basketball and you can shoot free throws, you're going to get, if you're talented enough, those two things right there, and you're willing to play defense, you're going to get a scholarship somewhere, and it's becoming more and more important. And that's why I believe that Gonzaga was a part of that. They lost a couple of shooters. They know how important shooting three-pointers are. Mm-hmm. And they went the Rashear Bolton way, which definitely is not C.J. Frederick. I love Rashear, but he is not C.J. Frederick. If Gonzaga would have got C.J. Frederick, I think that might have put them over the edge and put them at number one again next year, just for the simple fact.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have a seven-footer that can sit out there and shoot threes too, it's crazy what they can do. For the University of Iowa, I think they're good. I think people will... I mean, they're never going to forget about it, because it seems odd that, you know, you and I did this a lot this year. We were saying, you know what, CJ's doing everything he can to get back on the court. And if mm-hmm. people were thinking that, well, he just didn't play because he knew he was going to leave, I don't think that's true. You don't try to come back from injury if you're thinking that you're just going to leave.
No, and I'm happy you're in the same boat as I am about that. I think it's fairly ridiculous and almost petty on people's parts, for, you know, if they do say that he was halfway out the door during the season. Because, I mean, he battled through plantar fasciitis for the final 2.5 months of the season. I mean, he's playing through, I mean, I don't even want to imagine how excruciating a pain that was. But if he was halfway out the door, he wouldn't have come back for Iowa. And it's obvious when he came back that Iowa was a better basketball team, even if the stats didn't show up for CJ. I mean, you look at that late January, early February portion where Iowa lost 4 out of 5 games, but then they ended the season winning 9 of their final 11 matchups. It's not a coincidence that they were much better with C.J. Frederick on the floor, and to C.J.'s credit to some extent, he just hasn't been healthy throughout the most part of his career. He's battled through injuries much like Jordan Bohannon did, and I will say, to go back to your point about shooting translates, look no further than Jordan Bohannon, how he has a Division I scholarship at the University of Iowa. It's because of how prolific of a shooter he is in that range that he has. But, yeah, like you mentioned, I understand, you know, you can't tell fans how to react to a situation. They're free to entitled to do whatever they want. But I think when you look at the evidence on paper with what CJ tried to battle through and what he did go through to try to play this season, on top of the injury, the quarantining, the isolation away from basically society during the basketball season, I think the proof's in the pudding that he wanted to play. I don't think he was halfway out the door. And if he was halfway out the door, I think he would have left immediately after the season ended.
Yeah, I do too. And it pains me to see that. And I agree with the shooting part with Jordy Bohannon, because he's kind of a lightning rod, you know. He definitely said, I'm coming back to fight for name, image, likeness too. So, you know, sometimes programs don't like lightning rods, but when you shoot like he does and you're an integral part of making them from, wow, I don't even know where to pick them in the Big Ten, especially as deep and good as the Big Ten is going to be next year,
yeah,
it really helps to have Iowa get back to the NCAA tournament that he's coming back. Caitlin Clark, Lexi Dornoski from the state of Iowa, one at Iowa State, one at Iowa, both made the trials for the under 19 tournament. I think that could be a lot of fun. Caitlin's a 2-time gold medal winner already. I just, you know, it's a lot of basketball, but I think she's so driven that she really wants to make this team and she really wants to win another gold medal. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm not really surprised to hear that she got selected amongst that prestigious group. And I do think it's worth noting that I don't think Paige Beckers is going to be playing in it. I know some people may kind of roll their eyes when I say that, but it's worth noting she won't be playing in it because I believe she had ankle surgery that's going to keep her out through the summer. So that's worth noting. But, yeah, Caitlin Clark, I mean, I think it's a shoe-in that she makes the team. She was a huge part of those two gold medal teams that she was a part of. And like you said, it's a lot of basketball. But, I mean, when you think about Caitlin and the swagger that she plays with and when she repeatedly says stuff like, people scoffed at me when I said I'm going to take Iowa to the Final Four, but I mean it. We are going to do this. And she said it again on my podcast, the Swarmcast I had with her a couple weeks ago. She repeatedly said that. So I think when she has those type of goals in mind and she knows all the attention that's going to be on her, not just this upcoming season, but through the remainder of her basketball career, I'm not surprised to hear how driven that she is to want to make that team and to want to help lead the United States to another gold medal.
And it's such a, once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at DEicholt247. That's the part that people don't understand about Caitlin, that don't know Caitlin, and watching her in high school and thinking, well, she was arrogant or something. It's not arrogance. What she decided early on, and she's good enough to back it up, is I can take all the pressure. The rest of my teammates, you guys play your game. I'll make people dislike me. I don't care. It fuels me. You don't have very many basketball players. You don't have very many athletes that are willing to do that. Man, their athletes are so thin-skinned that you don't have somebody like that. It's special when you have somebody like that. It's even more special when you have somebody like that who's actually one of the most talented players, too. They don't usually go hand in hand, and that's a really special thing. I have to ask you this, Dave, and I've been wanting to ask you, and we always talk about the Hawkeyes, and I want to get to the football, but we may not. Well, we'll still make it there. Of hockey, baseball, NBA, and National Football League, what's your favorite sport that you watch other than doing all your college stuff for Iowa?
I'm an NBA guy.
Are you?
I'm
really?
One of probably 12 people. I'm one of probably 12 people in Iowa that really follow it. No, I've been
team?
Able to watch a little bit this year. I'm a Thunder fan, so it's kind of painful for me. Russell Westbrook's my favorite player of all time. But I'll tell you what, Luka Doncic is slowly moving up that list with what he's doing. No, I mean, throughout last season, before, you know, during COVID and all that, I think I'd missed a combined 32 games in the NBA season and postseason total. I watch about everything.
I'm a huge playoff NBA guy, and I watch NBA games to watch players like Doncic and Jokic and Westbrook, and I like watching those. And here's a really funny thing, and I'll ask you, since you were a Thunder fan, what Russell Westbrook does sometimes gets misconceived. All he does is he steps on the basketball court and gives you everything that he has. And people think he pads his stats. And maybe he pads his stats on rebounds and stuff, and maybe it's important to him. But who wouldn't like to have him as a teammate? And it seems like nobody wants to have him as a teammate.
Here's my thing, and this is the only stat I think that needs to be said. I know people talk about stat padding. If stat padding is such a problem, and I don't think he does it, I think at times, you know, he might a little bit, but there's a reason why the Thunder let him get all the rebounds, because they could get out in fast break, and they were statistically a better and more efficient offense when they did that. But Russell Westbrook wins 75% of his games when he has a triple-double. So even if he is stat padding, again, I don't think he is, the team is winning. And you look at what he's done over the past month and a half in the NBA, the Wizards are one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now, and they're moving back into that playoff contention. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Russell Westbrook is putting up these crazy stat lines like he did the other night. 14 points, 21 assists, and 24 rebounds, and they got a win. So,
and see, that's
I think it's all needs to be said about it.
That's why he's not stat padding. Because if you're stat padding, you're stat padding to get points. Because that's what you get paid for, right? You get paid for scoring. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care what he scores. He just wants to dominate all of it. And he would rather have 14, 21, and 24 than have 44, 10, and 11. I guarantee you, if you ask him, he would take, hey, listen, I got 21 of my teammates points, and I took over rebounding, and they could just go. I agree with you. And he is misunderstood as a player, and I love watching him play. I agree with you. Who were a couple of big surprises spring practice for you for the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I'm going to say people need to stop sleeping on Riley Moss. I don't want to say it's a surprise, but I know in a loaded secondary, he can often get overlooked. But I think he was arguably Iowa's most impressive player in both spring practices, making athletic pass breakups, playing great in press coverage, coming away with an interception. I think he's in for a big, big year. And I'll say, you know, the defensive line, I think for Iowa, despite losing three starters, I think they have a lot of depth there. And there's a lot of pieces that Calvin Bell and Jay Neiman are going to have to rotate in. I think there's as many as 8, 9, possibly 10 guys that are going to be in major contention to be a part of that defensive line rotation. So despite losing all these big names, it seems like Calvin Bell and the Iowa defense just continue to reload. And for the offense, I'll tell you what, backup quarterback Alex Padilla, I thought, really displayed the same stuff he did in the first open spring practice. A crisp pass, reading the pocket, throwing on the run, going through his progressions. I think Spencer Petras will be a starting quarterback, but Alex Padilla is certainly giving everything that he can to be able to move into that category.
Listen to Spencer Bach and you coming up, Alex Padilla. That's awesome. This is what I'm going to tell you about Riley Moss. When healthy, the best high school hurdler I've ever seen. I mean, when healthy, and you know, he just here's his issue. It's kind of like the Jack Kerner too, and they both have this. When they're on the foot, as soon as they step on the football field, they give you everything they have. They give up their body, everything. And sometimes that's difficult. So, as always, David, I love talking to you. Hope for good health tomorrow. I'm glad you got your second shot. The younger generation's making this older guy right here very happy.
Hey, thanks, Dean. Appreciate it as always. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Connect with Dean on sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Want to thank David Eichhold and Tim Murray from VSiN Network for both coming in. One talking Hawkeyes, one talking draft. It's been a lot of fun. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. My next guest is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one location in West Des Moines. It's Small Business Week, so along with Northwest Bank and Steen on Sports, please go out and go shopping in some small businesses and give them their business. Tough year. We're going to try to do everything we can to help them out, and Northwest Bank is doing that as well. As Steen on Sports is saying the same, great bank with great people, member FDIC. My next guest is John Schaefer. He is at J_Schaefer, WOI, Sports Director, WOI 5. Whew, man, he has the same thing. He is coming in here with sinuses too. We're going to do the low baritone talk, but he was gracious enough to still come in. Schaefer, how you doing besides having allergies?
You know, I'm doing all right, Steen. I can't hide behind my dashing good looks anymore on the radio here, so I've just got to let the voice roll a little bit.
Let the voice roll. Here's a quick update. John Means of the Baltimore Orioles throws a no-hitter today, first Oriole since Jim Palmer. And this is the first time ever that a pitcher has thrown a non-perfect no-hitter with no walks, no hit-by-pitches or errors. He had a pass ball that they didn't even consider to be an error, and that's how the person got on. So, crazy stuff.
So he's that close to a perfect game. That's a rough day.
It is a rough day, but it's still it's a win for the Orioles, which is always good. Boy, we have a few things to talk about. Let's start with, I wanted your take because I always love just to see where you're at in the outlook here. Aaron Rodgers, you know, high-end athletes. A lot of them want to think that they deserve a seat at the table on team decisions. Is Aaron Rodgers one of those athletes, or is what he is doing in Green Bay just undermining the Green Bay Packers? I don't know. I've kind of been on both sides. I don't know where to go. So I'm looking, as always, for Schaefer to bring me into the middle. What's your feeling, Schaefer?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough spot, and I'm kind of waffle back and forth a little myself, but I think in this case, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's as established of a veteran as you'll ever find, who's been a league MVP, who's won a Super Bowl, I mean, I think he's got a case. You know, it's not like he's some five-year-in rookie who's got a huge ego. Does he have an ego? Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, after the way the draft went in 2020 for the Green Bay Packers, where they draft his backup, and you know, maybe he feels like that's a slight, obviously, and they don't really get him any wide receiver weapons in a deep wide receiver class last year. And then this comes around where, you know, a rumor is Kumerow not getting a re-sign or traded off, whatever that was. Rodgers wasn't thrilled with that move. And, you know, Aaron's always kind of seemed like an interesting cat a little bit, you know, where he kind of marches to his own tune. And but at the same time, you can't not be concerned if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, because that's the heartbeat of your offense right there. You're not going to fall back on Jordan Love right now. Like, let's get real here with the weapons you have. Aaron Rodgers is the only guy that's making that place tick, so you better keep him happy.
And I agree, and it's tough to do. He's, you know, and this is what everybody's saying is, you know, once he sets his mind to something, man, it's hard to get him to change his mind. And I mean, he's done that with family, he's done that with teammates, he's done that with a lot. And it's going to be fun. Not fun, but it's going to be interesting to see what Green Bay does, because it is the most unique professional team, at least in the United States, because it's not owned by an owner. It's owned by a group, and yeah. it's not the same, and it's difficult. So I'm glad that you know, I'm kind of right on that middle, that I think he deserves a seat at the table, and they need to discuss the fact that they drafted Jordan Love and didn't tell him. I'm sorry, but when you have a quarterback that's the most integral part of your team, when they think of the Green Bay Packers, that's what you think of, and you don't tell him. I think that was, you know, the beginning of the end for that. And boy, is it gonna! I had Tim Murray from Visa Network on from Vegas at Circa, and he's like, man, you talk about if he gets traded, there's some people for like the Raiders and the Broncos that have some future bets now that have some pretty good odds, because you stick him on any team. I don't care what the team is. You stick him on any team, they get better. And that's what you're looking at.
Well, and the other aspect of all this is I feel like both sides are trying to call each other's bluff. The bigger issue here, though, is if you're Green, but Aaron has all of the chips on his side of the table, in my opinion, right now, because he's probably got his bankroll already set, so he doesn't need to worry if he doesn't get paid for a season. He can sit there and say, look, trade me and get some value out of me. Otherwise, I'm not going to play. Like, I mean, I, if he has no interest in playing for them, it's, alrighty, do you maximize on even the smallest amount of return, or do you risk not getting diddly here this season with some pieces that you want to try and chase down a Super Bowl with? And so I think he's got all the power right now, and I think it's only a matter of time before we see him move.
And I agree with that, and it's going to be fascinating to see where he goes, and it's going to change hockey. So I'm going to lead with this. It's going to change hockey. I'm getting ready to talk about hockey.
Are you want to talk hockey? I am all for it.
I want to talk hockey because the New York Rangers made some changes today, and it all came from the other night when the Washington Capitals, Wilson, who everybody thinks is a goon. It's somebody who you love having on your team, but you hate him when he's on another team. And the NHL only fined him $5,000 first off, was it worth, should he have got more than a $5,000 fine from the NHL?
Yes, absolutely. He's a repeat offender, is an intent to injure, not just on the sucker punch, but on the body slam on Panarin, who, you know, as Quinn said, is one of the stars of this league. So a $5,000 fine is somewhat laughable in this case, in my opinion.
So what was the NHL thinking? I mean, you're supposed to, if you're the NHL and you need TV ratings and you need money, you have to protect your stars.
You also got to realize Tom Wilson is a star in a lot of people's minds. And I don't know why that decision was made, especially considering the Rangers were eliminated after that game. They have three games left on the season. Washington's a playoff team. What do you think New York's going to go out and do tonight with puck drop in a half hour? They're going to send their guy out after Tom Wilson, and the score will get settled in some capacity. Maybe not just once. You know, it might be a couple of times tonight. And the fact is that when you've got former enforcers in the league, like a guy like John Scott coming out and saying there's no place in the game for it, it's pretty bad. My take on it was it's pretty bad. I, I'm a Philly fan, but I'm also love the way that Tom Wilson plays the game and has played the game. But at times it's gotten carried away, and maybe too many times it's gotten carried away. I believe fighting belongs in hockey, but guy has his face buried in the ice and you're going to wind up and sucker punch him in the back of the head. And it's just not, that's not part of the game. It's disrespectful to the game to pull that.
After that, all that goes down, the New York Rangers fire John Davidson, fire Jeff Gorton, hire Chris Drury, and are kind of helping out. And I can't remember who it from the New York Rangers. Well, James Dolan, which drives me crazy anyway. The fact that he's one of the worst owners, but I mean it's a big change for the Rangers there. Former GM Glenn Sather is still there and gonna help with that. But Rangers, once again, are rebooting to try to figure out how they can get back into being what everybody expects them. And that's, you know, one of the top five or six teams in the NHL.
Yeah, and they've got Panarin, who is a young star, obviously. And, you know, you need to probably shore up their blue line a little bit to create some consistency there. And goaltending is always going to be a thing, but they've got a young goaltender, I believe, off the top of my head. I'll be honest, I don't watch a ton of Rangers hockey. I've been pretty locked in on Minnesota as of late, and certainly the Flyers just playing awful this year. But you're right. I mean, the Rangers are expected to be a power, whether that be or at least a playoff contender, maybe not a power. But it'll be an interesting postseason once we get there in a week or so.
John, we're actually talking to John Schaefer. He's at J_Schaefer, WOI, Sports Director, WOI 5. Minnesota High School is going to initiate the shot clock. I'm telling you, if Minnesota High School can do it, Iowa high schools can do it. I mean, come on. It's one more person sitting at the scorer's table with I don't care if you use an oven clock. Do something to, you know, these kids need to learn to play with a shot clock anyway. If any of them are going anywhere, they're playing with a shot clock. I'm glad Minnesota is changing, and hopefully Iowa in the next 20 years will too.
Yeah, you know, that's always been a point of contest for us, and we've had that talk, Steen. But, you know, as a person who came from North Dakota before getting back into Iowa, you know, North Dakota had a shot clock when I was there 6 and 7 years ago. And I know those are small schools and there aren't as many of them, but guess what? They're small town schools still. They still manage the shot clock. You can figure it out. Guess what? Parents are going to have to step up and maybe take some of that off of them or help, get some help from a teacher here or there if you have to. And but it's needed. I mean, it's time. We didn't see dribble outs as much this year, but we still saw them. You know, it needs to happen sooner rather than later. And you know, for the state of Iowa, we need to kind of get ahead of being the last instead of being the last, being the first. And we're already behind on girls wrestling. There's so many high school athletics issues that Iowa's kind of dragging their feet on right now.
It is. And it's a lot of it is just inaction. And I think even making a bad decision sometimes is better than inaction. I think people get frustrated with inaction. If you are a fan of college football in this state, you got to be pretty excited. In the way too early after spring practice, your Iowa State Cyclones kind of show up at number 6. Iowa Hawkeyes, and I'm clicking down there. I couldn't remember if it was 14 or 16, and so I my paperwork was from they were 14. I think it's true. I think the Hawkeyes, there's, you know, you have Ohio State and you have Wisconsin and you have Iowa, and then you have to go from there. So I think they have a really good chance of doing better than what they did last year.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to win the games they're supposed to win. You can't blow a lead against Northwestern to start the year or anything like that. You know, I think the Iowa-Iowa State game this year is probably going to be one of the most hyped up games compared to a few years back when it was at Iowa State, and they were both top 25 teams when we had game day. So, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating game, and whoever comes out of that game as a winner is going to have a lot of momentum going into their conference slate in a few weeks after that. And so It could be a fun ride, but Iowa, you know, is notorious for losing games that they shouldn't. And so I think that'll be a determining factor for the Hawkeyes. And for the Cyclones, you just got to – it's going to be coach talk, and we're going to hear it every week from Matt Campbell, but they're going to take it game by game. They're not going to get ahead of themselves. They're not going to get too high, too low. But that is the personality of Matt Campbell, and his team wears that same personality. So it's going to be a fun adventure here in the fall, especially considering Iowa State fans also get a nice little trip out to UNLV and party it up down in Vegas for a weekend and check out a beautiful stadium down there. I'm hoping that I can convince the bosses here to let me make a little trek down there too. So
I've already talked. Or my boss already talked to me that we were going, which would be my wife, Jennifer. And now I'm hoping that the bosses here will make it so we can get to at least do some things. So that would be fun, too. This is what I've said all along, is Iowa State's most important game of the year next year is the first one. Because you can't have high expectations and lay an egg like you did last year in the first game. If you come out and you roll in that first game, then I think that you have something that people may not be able to stop, and I can't wait to see the Oklahoma game again. And I just think that I was worried about Iowa State until, you know, they were almost letting that Oklahoma game go in the Big 12 championship, and then they fought back, and they had a chance to win that game. And they didn't play well, and Oklahoma played pretty well. So Matt Campbell has something going on, and I'm glad, and Kirk Ferentz has – I think he weathered the storm, and he's turned that – not that he's turned the program around, but he's turned the program back to being the Iowa program that we thought it was 10 years ago, where everybody's on the same page and everybody's working their way through because of open communication, which might have been closed for a while.
Yeah, definitely, and we've talked about that ad nauseum, so to speak, and it's just one of those things where it needed to change for the better, and does it – prolong Kirk Ferentz's career maybe a little bit more, maybe, you know, but at the same time, that's a program that still has to thrive on the field as much as they are off of it right now and sustain that momentum that they have as a culture, because if they can't do that, then I don't see Kirk really keeping his head in it as much, I guess.
Right, and that's the difficult part. And if you ever wanted to leave it to Brian, they have to keep, you know, they have to keep it at a high level. So I agree. Buddy, thanks for coming in. I know you don't feel good. Allergies are not fun right now. I appreciate
it. It's always good talking to you,
Rude in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Want to thank Tim Murray from Visa Network coming in and talking the draft and just a lot of interesting sports talk with him. David Eichel coming in talking Hawkeyes and just everything that's going on there. And John Schaefer, as always, we talk about everything. And he was nice enough, kind enough, come in when he's got a little allergy going on. I had that earlier. I get it every once in a while now. Like right there when I had to clear my throat again. Let's see. What do I have here? We are sponsored by BetMGM. We'll do that one first. BetMGM. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, you can download the BetMGM app. You can deposit money. You can make almost if it's a sport and it has some odds, you can find it on BetMGM. It's a lot of fun. Deposit some money. All kinds of different specials. One of the big specials right now, you can put in Steen 100. You can wager up to $100 on your first bet. If you lose that, they're going to put it right back in there for you. So that's a pretty unique thing. Get some odds on that and have some fun. BetMGM, it's a great sponsor for this program, and I appreciate them doing that. We also have Northwest Bank, two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. They have many locations across the state. This is all I'm going to say. Great bank with great people with great products. That's all you need right there. Go in. Tell them Steen sent you. Open up a new account and see what they can do for you. Member FDIC. And last but definitely not least, and it's Mother's Day this weekend. a great gift for your mother, especially if my sons are listening for Jen. It's a great gift to get for Jen because then I can share with her. It's Built Bar. It is, if you're looking to have something help you with your energy and fill in the gap between meals, Built Bar has filled this gap with a great tasting protein bar packed with flavor. Covered in chocolate, Built Bar has 17 grams of protein with only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. So listen to Steen and go to BuiltBar.com and order the protein bar. Use CHAMP10 to get 10% off. You order the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is both delicious and nutritious. It's a high five for your mouth. There we go. Got those guys taken care of. I appreciate everything that they do for this program. I have two things that I just had on my phone. One, Iowa State Cyclones today took care of their last remaining spot on their roster. Penn State transfer Isaiah Brockington commits to Iowa State. He averaged 12.6 points for Northwestern last year. I'm making sure that I said that right. They were competing with Xavier, Wake Forest, Arkansas. We're all competing for him. And once again, TJ's done a really good job of turning over the roster, getting people that fit his system and fit the way he sees the future. So I can't wait to see. I had somebody ask me again the other day, well, what's it going to take? I want a Big 12 win. There you go. Everything else is gravy. I don't want to go for the Big 12 again. And that's all we have to do. I talked earlier today, the Tony La Russa experiment. Imagine that, an older by-the-book coach with a very young and athletic and exuberant team, and it's not going well for them with the type of talent that they have. You couldn't see that one coming. And listen to Alexa talking to me after I pushed the wrong button. We had a bunch of stuff that we talked about today. What I kind of want to talk about. So tonight, I'm going to start preparation and do final preparation for our Mother's Day, show on Friday. Once again, I want you, if you're going to tune in and listen to the show, please do it on Friday. It's going to be totally different. I'm going to be asking questions and just trying to drive conversation with 5 or 6 friends of mine that are huge sports enthusiast and love to talk sports, and you get a different perspective than you do from me. All I'm going to do, I'm going to try to get them riled up and ready to go, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I hope you join, and you get to listen to everybody that's coming in, because you're going to be amazed at all the sports knowledge that they have. And two, you're going to be amazed at how funny and great all these guys are. Gals. I always say guys. Gals. I'm giddy about it. And I can't wait. And I hope we get to do it again. Tiff and I are going to be taking care of that. You're going to have me for the first segment. And then we're going to bring all of them in on the second segment and all the way through the rest of the show. So, I'm going to put that out on Twitter tonight. I will put that out on Facebook if my wife helps me. And you can see what we're going to try to do and some of the things that we want to talk about. I mean, we want to talk about COVID and how it affected athletes. I want their opinion. I want their opinion on the fact that the NCAA has a double standard when it comes to women's athletics and men's athletics. I want their opinion on some of the professional sports and how they have changed their advertising towards women. The NFL, you want to know why the NFL is number one? The NFL is number one because they realized that they have a huge audience in the female market and said, we're gonna make our commercials skew towards them and everything. I can't wait to talk about the stuff because it's out there and it needs to be talked about. And, you know, even high school sports. Do high school sports get the same coverage in our state? Do they get the same coverage across the country? We'll talk about coaching and do women get enough chances to coach? And one of my biggest ones that I have, I think there needs to be more women coaching in men's sports. I'm telling you right now that Becky Harmon in the NBA is one of the best coaches in the NBA, and I hope sometime somebody gives her the opportunity to do it. And I know that there are players in the NBA that would back her, and they're big-name players. But I'm not willing to go out on a limb to say that they're all open for her coming in and doing that. And that's a shame. After my show tonight, I'm going to flip the switches and we are going to have the Minnesota Twins and the Texas Rangers on 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We are a Twins affiliate. We also are a Kansas City Chiefs affiliate. So we'll start talking Kansas City Chiefs football here within the next couple of months, getting ready for next season. Just a lot of things going on today. It's you know, we have a full guest. I was going to check my beast. Oh, nope, that's Tuesday, Monday. My goodness, I'm such. Oh, here we go. Chris Tubbs from Minnesota is coming in tomorrow at 4:40. I kind of wanted to get his opinion on how Minnesota is and Minneapolis is handling everything after the verdict. And most of the teams are playing well. I think the Vikings had a pretty good draft. Kevin O'Hare at 5 o'clock. I'm hoping I forgot to text him today, so I'm going to text him when I get home tonight as well. And B Styles coming in tomorrow at 5:20. Because I am taking up his time slot on Friday for our talk that we are going to have with the gals. And Maddie Nelson, look at that. Here we go. This is a we, Maddie. I am a cyclone. I can't stop being a cyclone, Matt Nelson. I have Maddie Nelson is coming in. Maddie Nelson's coming in tomorrow too. I just have to remember what time he's coming in and I'll talk to him when we get home today too. I am checking. I'm not sure. Here we go. We also have, I think the Twins and Rangers are on after us again tomorrow night as well. I think that's when they end that series. My last thing I have to say, Angel Hernandez, who is one of the really bad umpires in Major League Baseball, admits that he guessed on a wrong call. This guy has had made some horrible calls, horrible strike calls. You can go on Twitter and you can watch for 5 minutes of calls that he has missed. It is really, really, really bad. And I don't know what you do about it because, it's not like people, we treat umpires so poorly sometimes that it's not like it's a job that people just want to step up and take over. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I try to do that every day. Hopefully you enjoy that. I had a blast today with everybody that came in. I hope everybody has a great night and have a beautiful day tomorrow when we come back in. And don't forget about Friday's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I appreciate you all. Everybody have a good night.